Is there such a thing as a traveler? Not a Delta. Because we know on one flight, Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. While on the flight after, 8C is occupied by Jen, whose favorite snack is tea. That's why we provide fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members. Because at Delta, we know.
Refill?
Everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing. Free Wi-Fi available on most domestic flights. Terms of use apply.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
We've done this. In fact, COVID, it was actually a learning opportunity. I think it was the first time we played on a Wednesday. It will not be a regular thing. It'll be when Christmas falls on a Wednesday. But the time period between games has been done before. We have not seen any elevation of injuries. You all and we have had a major focus on Thursday night when we first put it in, and we've still not seen any kind of elevation of injuries. So I think we have this down.
Let's get the good word from the one and only Vincent Goodwill from Yahoo Sports. Vinny, I just want to know how you and really the NBA community at large, speak for the people. How y'all feel about the NFL coming through like Snoop crushing the buildings and just taking over Christmas? How y'all feel about this?
Man, it's wild. Like, we have different group chats with different sort of NBA folks on it. And one of them just sent a link and it just said, these dudes are greedy. And yeah, that's just kind of how it is. If the NFL sees that there's a glitch in the matrix, and if Christmas falls on a Wednesday, so be it. Like, my question, though, is, how do you structure your week like that if you're NFL teams? Are these teams going to not play the week before? Like, teams already complained about Thursday night football. Then you're going to play Wednesday afternoon, and they need every hour that they can get of rest and everything else. Like, to me,
Sunday to Wednesday turnaround is crazy. I would have to imagine that maybe they put them on the previous Thursday night. That's what I would have to get. You would like to think.
Yeah.
It's kind of late for a bye. I think the previous Thursday night they would have to play. That'd be my guess. But continue. I mean to cut you off.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, but it's just
something too about this.
It's just a weird thing. Like, you almost felt like professional sports, they almost had like their own sort of club where, you know what, we respect your turf, we respect your territory, we respect, you know, when you're going to do things. Oh, you're doing something on April 20th. Oh, we're gonna stay away from that day. We're not going to do anything on opening day, like the NCAA having a national title game on that first Monday in April. The NBA doesn't have games that day. You know what I mean? By and large, like, they stay away from those things that are out of kind of a respect. Nah, in the words of Jay-Z, it's no respect at all. You better check a dog.
Go ahead, Mike. That's what I was going to ask. I was going to ask you, Vinny. The NBA has done well. I mean, relatively speaking, the NFL is in its own category. It's its own tier when it comes to eyeballs and engagement. And then everybody else falls in line. The NBA has done well, has done better than Major League Baseball, has done better than National Hockey League. So the NBA is in a good position. But I wonder, is there any chatter, or do you think it would be wise for the NBA to kind of, hey, we can't beat them. Maybe we need to work with them better. They can bring us up a little bit. Maybe we work somehow an NBA-NFL collaboration just so you won't get stomped on by the giant.
I guess it depends on what would that look, feel, and sound like, because I don't think it's necessarily a league thing. These owners have massive egos. You know what I mean? I don't think these owners want to be in a position where they have to kowtow to Clark Hunt and Jared Jones. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that that is where they necessarily want to be. And you know, we consider Christmas Day kind of like the unofficial start of the NBA season, where if you're just starting to tune in, you're 20 plus games in, you might check in a little bit before that, but that's really where you start kind of diving in to NBA as a whole, outside of the team that you may be around, outside of the team in your market. And then you check in with, okay, these are the top 10 teams or the teams that's expected to be really good this year. It's a weird, weird space. And I'll tell you where else it's gotten weird too. It's gotten weird on Twitter. Like, it was weird a little while ago on Twitter where NFL writers were like crowing about, you know, NFL runs the Twitter streets. And I'm like, bro, I didn't know this was like a competition between like us. Like, all we do is cover these sports. Like, we don't actually get paychecks from these dudes.
That's great. I didn't know that was a thing. So like NFL Twitter trying to like, I don't think there's a comparison. Like,
It was a while ago. I'll send you some tweets over text.
It's just a whole different dynamic. It's the same platform, X or whatever, but like it's the same platform. It's just different vibe, different dynamic, different community, different conversations. I thought it was crowing about the ratings that the NFL did on Christmas, this past Christmas, which obviously precipitated this decision. No, it'll be fascinating to see, because you're right. Christmas Day is like such a showcase, not just the unofficial start of the season, but this platform that historically, and we've talked, the three of us, a lot about the All-Star game and what that means. Tentpole event, Christmas Day, the lineup, which marquee players and marquee franchises are playing on Christmas. It's just, you know, I'm tongue in cheek talking about Snoop coming through crushing the buildings, but it's like, you're right about the territory. It just feels like it should be sacred ground. But hey, money knows no such thing as sacred ground. Speaking of must be the money, and I loved your column about this inflection point that the NBA is at as a whole.
At Delta, we know Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. On the next flight, 8C is Mandy, a foodie. So we offer all types of food options. Because at Delta, everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
It seemed like it was inspired by the Jontay Porter gambling scandal. And I almost hesitate to use the word scandal, because if it were Michael Porter Jr., maybe it would be a bigger deal. I don't know how many people are up in arms about it. Michael and I were just talking about Shohei Ohtani the other day, and just how pervasive I assume gambling is, whether it's, you know, within, and we just don't know it yet, within locker rooms, within leagues, within organizations, within families, friend circles. I mean, obviously, you know, the media has fully embraced gambling. But this Jontay Porter situation, I mean, it's like it's new school point shaving. Like, it's fascinating because it's walking, talking, and quacking and looking like a duck, where my man was manipulating. First of all, the fact that there are prop bets on Jontay Porter. Let's start with that. That there are prop bets on a Jontay Porter. We're all degenerates, okay? But like, manipulating the prop bets, it seems, you know, through his own performance or lack thereof, this is a new low. I guess, what are they saying, not just on NBA Twitter, Vinny, but in NBA circles, you know, on your text threads with NBA executives and officials, about how deep this rabbit hole may go specifically for the NBA, this gambling rabbit hole?
I mean, I think it's one of those, you know, lack of a better phrase, unintended consequences, right? Like, I feel like we all walk around with a sign that says Benson Goodwill presented by DraftKings. You know what I mean? Like, that might be on our IDs at this point, and our driver's licenses and passports, you know, at this point. It's Because look, it's just one of those things, y'all, that before when it was taboo, you could kind of hear no evil, see no evil. You know what I mean? Richard Pryor, Gene mm-hmm. Wilder, you can kind of keep your eyes closed, kind of pretend that it only happens in places that you don't like to talk about, you know, like that sort of thing. Now, because everybody is so embedded with it, it's not just the mm-hmm. NBA, the NFL.
Embedded.
It's college,
and in
it's college
bed.
Sports.
Embedded in and in bed. Both of them, yes.
In bed. Yeah. And look, not just in bed, but when they try to get out of bed, Jacqueline come scrolling again, having a meeting with you, and then Love didn't bring your ass home last night. You know what I mean? Like, that's where we are with this gambling stuff. And I think...
If you're so in love with her, why are you here with me? So in love with Angela, why are you here with me?
Hey, I'll say this as an aside.
Please, by all means.
I don't even answer that question in that moment, right? I just get one more in and then leave. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you just get one more in, then you leave.
Right.
And then
right.
You kind of let people
doesn't matter
read
at that
the
point.
Teams.
Right. You know what, Jacqueline? You're right, Jacqueline. Say whatever you got to say. Okay, what were you saying about where were
Jacqueline
we?
Wasn't in, Jacqueline wasn't in love with me, so why I got to be in love with you? What are we doing here? Now,
she just loved the humor.
Michael Holly's over there.
Back to the lecture right here.
I see the logic. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. Back to the lecture.
And once again, y'all talking to a single man who has been bad decisions and made bad decisions, so I totally get it, right? But but as a general thing, the NBA didn't catch this. They just caught this. And I think that's what the NBA may be banking on, is that we can only know so much about this. It's Vegas's job to make sure that all these things are on the up and up. Not for Vegas to protect itself, but for Vegas to protect the gamblers from taking advantage of them. And this was a spot where if Jontay Porter unders are the biggest moneymaker for a given night, I'll tell you what happened. Whatever happened, this is just my amateur crackpot theory. The first incident happened in January. Oh man, we cashed out. We gonna stay quiet for a minute. We gonna make sure nobody catches us. We not gonna do it again for another 2 months. And then they're like, hey y'all, let's go rob Terry Benedict's casino one more time, right? And they didn't think that Vegas was watching. I bet you if the second thing didn't happen, we wouldn't know about it. If you go in for your quick, big score the first time and you go home, you leave the casino and go home. These fools, whoever these fools are, decided that they were going to try it twice.
Jontay Porter!
Wait a minute. Well, hold on.
I don't think it's Jontay Porter. No. I'm not saying it isn't Jontay Porter. I'm saying people acting with insider knowledge. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Jontay Porter. Jontay Porter is just one person here. I'm wondering.
This gun is
Michael
smoking.
And Vinny.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it is. Look. It's clear that he doesn't really have a case. But that's Jontay Porter. So it's easy for us to look at a guy who averages, 4 or 5 points a game and be like, okay, whatever. What's this dude thinking? But is this a case where the NBA and the NBA Players Association have to get together and be the prevengers, not the Avengers, but prevengers? I mean, think about it. Look, if you're Jontay Porter, you've got inside information. You know what's going to happen. So what's to stop somebody else? You can go on and on. It could be whether it's Raptors, Oklahoma City, whether somebody is crazy enough wants to bet on Ohio State, Michigan football, whatever it is, if you have some inside information, Vinny, there are a lot of guys who can just say, all right, I'll do it, but I'll be smarter. I'll be smarter than Jontay was, and I can make my money. This is something that the NBA has to address, isn't it?
Well, since you brought up Ohio State, Michigan, I will once again remind you of the score of the last three.
I just did
117
that for you.
To 74.
I see that ridiculous sign behind you. I thought I'd bring that up.
It's okay. 117 to 74. Just remember the score. Have it burned in your head for next November when we actually do it again. Now, like you said, if you have to tell players not to gamble on their sport, not to gamble on themselves, you don't have a sport. Like, it's not something where the Players Association should be coming in and telling guys stuff that they – like, that's – the lowest of the low expectations. You know, dating back to high school and college, like it's something that's embedded in your brain. You may not even know who Pete Rose is, but you know the story. You know what I mean? Like you may not know that George Papadopoulos was out here getting suspended back in the day. You know what I mean? You may not even know George Papadopoulos was a football player, but you know that gambling is, no matter how pervasive it is elsewhere, you know it's not something that you're supposed to do. And if you have to go and remind your players to that point, if you have to go and check their closets at every point, then you don't have a sport. And for me, it's funny that you brought up the NFL taking over Christmas and the NBA leaning into gambling. I view those things as more or less parallel, because the NBA is trying to catch up. The NBA is trying to lean into all these different revenue streams because they just don't have the natural reach, natural feel that the NFL has. So what that means is sometimes you get in bed with some Lady Eloises. Sometimes you get in bed with some Jacquelines, you know what I mean? And you know exactly what's going to happen. You're just praying that it doesn't. And because, you know, think about it. Think about the last 5 years, y'all. Playing tournament, in-season tournament, gambling on the apps. Mm-hmm. Like, it has changed so fast for the NBA, you don't have time to actually do cautious checks and balances. And that's the thing that's scary here.
Can you make it darker?
Hey. Just a little bit darker.
Just a little bit.
What's the over-under on movie references in this one conversation? All right. Couple of things. Speaking of the Wild Wild West, the actual Western Conference, I want to talk about first that double overtime win by the LeBron-less Lakers behind Anthony Davis. Michael, don't you dare go catching the vapors on Anthony Davis. But the LeBron-less Lakers beating the Milwaukee Bucks.
12 for 31. Was he 12 for 31? I think he was. Anyway, go ahead.
That's what you're focused on? Okay. Since you brought it up, okay, you got your numbers, I got mine. Anthony Davis' last four games during his Lakers' four-game winning streak. 22-15 with six assists. 23-19 with four blocks and four assists. 36-16. And then last night, 34-23 and four blocks in 52 minutes. Like, I just don't want, I mean, like, sorry, Vinny, excuse us for a second. We've been arguing for years about Anthony Davis. I don't want don't
no, like
keep
Anthony.
Your mouth closed about
it. No,
he's
a good
player. Don't come around. Do not come around. Y'all been talking shit about Anthony Davis for years.
I like him for years.
And okay, you like him so much, the first thing you go to is 12 for 31, as if that's some god-awful stat line. Anyway.
It's not? Vinny, look at that. That's terrible. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay, but if he goes, you know, 3 for 8, oh, he don't want to shoot. He don't want to be the man. He took 31 shots. You know, it's hard to make 16 of them. Okay, no, everybody ain't doing that. Vinny, this dude just trolling me at this point because he know he's wrong. He been wrong for years about Anthony Davis. Vinny, your biggest takeaway, not just from last night's victory behind Austin Reeves and Anthony Davis, but the Lakers. These last four games in particular, and just really who they are, who they might be able to be, provided they survive the play-in, which, again, that's a big if. But if they survive the play-in, who can they be in these playoffs? Do these Lakers have a ring to them or not, if you get what I mean?
A ring? The only ring I see is in Denver, baby. That's the only ring. That's the only ring.
Indulge me. Yes, it's the Nuggets Conference. Yes, it's their league. But just indulge me. Or at least the Western Conference. I know the Celtics might have something to say about it when they're not choking away leads. But what is a lead nowadays? But indulge me. How dangerous, how fun might the Lakers have another playoff run in them? Another deep playoff run in them. Put it that way.
Well, here's the thing. If you are in the 9-10 spot in the Western Conference, or the 9-10 spot in any of the play-in, the only place you can get to is 8, which means if you get to 8, you're playing 1. And last I checked, 1 is the big joker. And y'all know what happens when the big joker goes on the forehead. It's game over. Well, maybe, you know what, Michael Holly, let me take that back. Because sometimes Michael Smith can have the big joker and the little joker and say, ooh, bored.
Wow.
Sometimes he will say bored. Now, if you're
that
telling
never
me.
Fucking happened for Vinny. Stop doing that. You keep embellishing and exaggerating. I know embellishment sells books, okay? But you keep embellishing Richard Wrong Langston Snooze about that's one Spades game at the NBA All-Star game in New Orleans that, yes, we lost. I did not underbid. But you like to do that because you know it hurts my
ABJ
credibility.
And you did underbid. And you like to
It was NBA All-Star. We were in the lobby of the W
Hotel. It was NABJ.
Bullshit, it was in my city. It was not. It was NBA All-Star.
It was the summer. It was NABJ in 2012. It was during the NBA Finals. It was during the NBA Finals when Miami was playing against Oklahoma City. It was NABJ
So we're both wrong. No. NABJ. They intersected the finals and NABJ. Okay.
Yeah, because that might be right about that.
You might be right about that fact, but I did not underbid. I did not underbid and stop saying that. And yes, this is beige rage. Before you say it, I'm going to preemptively say it. Yes, this is beige rage. I did not underbid. I've never been guilty of underbidding. Stick to basketball, Vinny. I asked you about the Lakers. Not something that happened 20 years ago. Go ahead. Lakers.
I'm glad you have gotten all of this off of your chest in this therapeutic session. I'm glad you have gotten it off, even if it's the lie that you tell yourself. I'm 100% with you. I was on your team. We lost. We had to sign the book to Bomani and Jamel because your ass underbid it. I cannot believe this. And yes, that was beige rage. And yes, I'm still upset with you because I'm as competitive as you. Now, the Lakers have the profile of a team that could make things interesting in the playoffs if they don't play Denver. Why? Because they don't foul. And they go to the free throw line a lot. Now, you may say, they go to the free throw line a lot. That's a little chicanery, but they're big. LeBron goes to the line a lot. Anthony Davis goes to the line a lot. You saw Austin Reeves and D'Angelo Russell. They go to the line a lot. That gives you chances to set your defense. That gives you easy points when the games are getting caught a little bit tighter in the postseason. And it just feels a certain way. And I don't know if LeBron can rev it up in a series. I think LeBron can rev it up in a game. I just don't think they can get to the 7 or 8 line that would give them out of the crosshairs of Denver. Now, Denver could very well not finish in one, and it could be Minnesota or Oklahoma City. And Oklahoma City is light in the pants, and they're young. And if you tell me that, okay, cool. If you tell me that the Lakers are against Oklahoma City in round one, all right, fine, I'll eat that. And then in the second round, if they are in that 1-8 line, that means you play 4-5. 4-5 is Clippers and New Orleans in that first round series. Now, that could be a Lakers-Clippers series, or that could be a Lakers-New Orleans series. And in either series, the Lakers would be really, really confident given the recent history. They beat New Orleans in that in-season tournament where we looked like we thought Zion was Refrigerator Perry. You know what I mean? And then they beat the Clippers the last few times that they played when LeBron literally went on like a fourth-quarter rampage in front of Jay-Z and the world a few weeks ago that started to send the Clippers down this spiral. So if you're saying all those things line up. All those things have to line up exactly the way that I said it. Because if one thing is wrong, if the Lakers are in the 2-7 line and they're having to go against Denver in round one or round two, they're going home.
All right, speaking of lining up, before we get you out of here, man. Okay, go ahead, Mike. We got one more thing before we let him go. Go ahead.
Yeah, one more thing. What happens if the Warriors don't make the playoffs?
Okay,
what happens
we're going
if
to the
they
same
do?
Place.
I mean, what happened?
We were going to the same place.
What happened?
Rockets have won 9 in a row, 11-1 in March. I was going to ask the same thing. Chances that the Rockets overtake the Warriors for this playing spot. Thank you, Michael. Great minds think alike.
Baby, you better hope the Rockets don't overtake Golden State because I don't know what type of conversations we're going to have about Ime Udoka because we don't know how to talk about that man in glowing terms given some of his movies. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to have to talk about Jalen Green and some of those other things either. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just better for all involved if Golden
it's
State.
It's better if they make it. It's good stories, man. Some good stories.
What you want? What you trying to say about Ime Udoka?
What's not to say? There's a lot.
What you trying to say about What are you trying to say about Ime Udoka in the city of Houston, given his proclivities? Man is a walking Drake song.
Don't you want that exclusive where he tells you, like, hey, man, what, really? What happened?
Nope.
What happened, bro? You don't want that story?
Nope.
I could not have asked. Hey, and to your point earlier, Vinny.
What happens to the Warriors? I ain't talking about
anybody. What happens to the Warriors? Oh, they're just old.
Wait, real quick. Real quick.
I don't know if there's much to say. They're just old.
Real quick before I finish it, I just want to say, that's why NBA Twitter is king. Because those conversations happen on NBA Twitter. So the Warriors are just old. I mean, Clay had six threes in the starting lineup last night to beat the Heat. You know, they can't make it and make some noise.
I mean, look, what did you say about that duck? That duck is walking. That duck is quacking. If it's 70 games into the season and we still playing, if was a fifth game, I think we got our answer. Like, the Warriors are closer to the bottom of the Western Conference than the top. They just look like a championship team because they have some of the names. And then you're thinking about the Kamingas and all these other guys that are coming up. But it's clear, this ain't those dudes, man.
Yo, you are that dude. Vinny, this is a masterclass. One of your best pieces of work. Chef's kiss for this conversation, brother. We need to get together and play another Spades game. We need to play another Spades game.
What did you say, Vinny?
No, I'm not. Michael Smith, you want another chance to embarrass yourself? I don't want this. Do I need to teach Mason how to play spades so he can be properly taught?
Okay.
Now you're bringing my son into it? My wife and everything, dog? Like, you're bringing my son into it? You know, there's no family is off limits.
Is there such a thing as a traveler? Not a Delta. Because we know on one flight, Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. While on the flight after, 8C is occupied by Jen, whose favorite snack is tea. That's why we provide fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members. Because at Delta, we know. Refill? Everyone flies their own way. Delta. Keep climbing. Free Wi-Fi available on most domestic flights. Terms of use apply.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Well, hello there, Natalie Esquire. Nice to see you again.
What's up?
We know you got a lot on your mind. You've been walking these streets of social media. Mm-hmm. You always got your ear to the ground, your ear to the streets. You know what the people are saying. And you got a lot to say. You got a lot on your mind, I'm sure. We have no idea where you're taking this. Like, I have no idea what topic you're going to bring up. Neither Michael nor I has prepared. So be gentle.
Of course.
Take it away.
Yeah, you know, so there's obviously been a lot of enthusiasm over the NCAA women's tournament, right? And we're seeing all the headlines, the ratings, and not just for Iowa with Caitlin Clark. Obviously, we know she's the preeminent name, but we're seeing all the ratings for all the games come in strong, right? And they've been really exciting games. And so one of the things that I was really surprised to see is commentary, because I thought we were past this point, is everyone sort of like clutching their pearls about the women cursing or being like passionate on the court. So, you know, recently when Iowa played, you know, Caitlin Clark, it appears, and we like to lip read, but it appears that she said, shut the fuck up, you know, while she was on the court. And it looked like, the reason why it's a little confusing is because it looked like she was yelling it at the crowd, but you're like, why would she yell that to the home crowd? So some people are saying she says stand up or get the, you know, but the point is she definitely, we know the F up part that was definitely there. And people just like, there was so much like, you know, commentary around it. And then also before that game, she had another game where like, she wasn't playing her best. So she like threw the ball at her head and she was arguing a lot with the refs. that her father, there's like, they just kept going to it. Her father was like, stop, like yelling at her from the crowd. And so then it was this talk about, oh, you know, like, she doesn't need to be behaving like that. And, you know, especially when they're up that much. And I do think it's a little whiny, but I'm like, this is stuff that happens in the men's game all the time. And it continued, you know, Angel Reese, the opponent that LSU was playing, she fouled out of the game and she waved bye-bye because that's what we do, right? Like, that's what happens in sports. They taunt, they do things. And of course, the classless comments came, and we'll get into what some of that means, but she was called classless and, you know, the diva, all those kinds of things. And then Cameron Brink out of Stanford, she fouled out and walking off the court, she told someone F you. We don't know if it was a ref. We don't know who she said it to, but it was very clear that she said F you. And people were just like, oh my gosh. And so I'm like, why can't women show passion? And I'm just surprised because I know there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of commentary always about women's sports and there's always the haters and things like that. But I just thought we've evolved in a place where we know that they're athletes and they're going to show passion. And this shouldn't be a big deal still.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I don't know about you, Mike. I'm surprised that there's an expectation that we've evolved. I don't think we've evolved to that point. I'm not surprised by the cussing. And nor am I surprised by the commentary because a lot of people still don't get it. Look, you start with Caitlin Clark. She is the all-time leading scorer in NCAA history, men and women. She's the all-time leading scorer. She's a great player. She's a competitor. She's going to be the number one pick in the WNBA draft. So why wouldn't she? I'd be surprised if she didn't drop some F-bombs every now and then. So anybody who is looking at these players and kind of assigning value to how they should be acting is probably stuck in a different time. I mean, it's a pretty simple answer. If you don't talk about men that way, you talk about women that way, why is that? I think we know what that's about, right, Natalie? We know where that's coming from.
Yes, but don't we want that in sports? Don't we want
men and women?
Right, but don't we want it to be fiery, right? And like this is you know, this is just like, okay, I'm talking about the cursing, right? And I mentioned with Angel, right, that there's the classless because somehow the commentary, like in comparison of all the things that happen, waving bye-bye on the court versus potentially cursing at a ref or cursing at the crowd. Of the three, if we're ranking them in order of offensiveness, I feel like waving bye-bye is probably the least offensive, yet her criticism seemed the harshest. So aside from the gender dynamics at play, as you know, there's also a racial component and element when it comes to Angel Reese. And so that's to be expected. Not that it's a good thing, I expect that, but I was just still overall shocked. I was shocked to see any kind of criticism of Caitlin Clark because I feel like it doesn't come. And I'm like, if this is the thing we're going to criticize Caitlin Clark over, it seems really silly to me. Michael, you look like you're over there thinking and pondering. Deep thought.
I felt this way when LSU and South Carolina got into it in the SEC tournament.
I'm so glad you went there.
I was just like, what's the big deal? Like, honestly, that was not a – I mean, it was a great game. It's a great rivalry. The juxtaposition between how Dawn Staley and Kim Mulkey took accountability or did not take accountability for it, I get the talking points and the conversation around that part. But the incident itself was not a fight, and it was not a fucking melee.
Right.
It was nothing.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, but like I was gonna go here. But this exactly. I'm just glad you pointed out the melee because the descriptions, you know, and this is, you know, kind of the place where I was gonna go next with this is like the microaggressions we're seeing in the media, but like the descriptions that came after later for Camila Cardozo and headlines that said things like it's an embarrassment or that it like ruined, you know, the entire, you know, game and the tournament. It's like, we like that. Like now everyone is anticipating and hoping that LSU and South Carolina make it to the Final Four. So why is this a bad thing? Like it was not this crazy.
It wasn't
malice in the palace.
It was competition. Okay, I'm glad you brought that up. It was competition. It was heated competition. It was high stakes. So when that happened, I felt like, A, that's not a fight. B, well, what do we expect? It's basketball. These are world-class athletes playing basketball. Aren't we past looking at women's basketball players as though they're supposed to, as though they're playing tennis, as though they're supposed to be,
we're not past
quote unquote.
Well, no,
we're not, because we live in a patriarchal society. We live in a racist society and a patriarchal society. So there's always going to be racial undertones and microaggressions when it comes to commentary, conversation, and criticism. And there's always going to be patriarchal and, in some cases, misogynistic undertones when it comes to the commentary, criticism, and conversations around sports and just society in general. So we're not past it. But that was how I processed it. I was like, well, what's the big deal? Like, they just got into it because they're basketball players playing basketball. Are we, why are we still tripping because they're ladies? So I agree with your original premise, Natalie, and yours as well, Michael. So now this part, the cussing part. The only thing I would say, though, is, and again, I'm sure it's being delivered differently and maybe coming from different places. But, and I'm going to see if I can say this right. Like, I don't think, I'm going to just use Draymond Green. Sorry, he's kind of like the poster child for petulance. I'm going to just use Draymond Green.
No problem.
Draymond Green gets criticized for how he acts towards officials. Draymond Green gets criticized for how he goes at other players or what he says. So like, a hallmark of the men's game is aggression, is competitive fire, is, in some cases, foul language, is taunting, is trash talking. But what also comes with that a lot of times is commentary about class and sportsmanship. So I don't know that I necessarily see a
I've never heard that in the men's game. Hold on, you have.
The difference is, I guarantee you have, whether it's class, whether it's sportsmanship, whether it's professionalism, whether it's maturity, whatever you want to call it. The difference is, it hits different when you're talking about women. That's where we all agree. When you're talking about women, it comes from a place of, well, this is how you're supposed to be acting because you're a woman. When it's with men, it doesn't come from, well, men shouldn't act that way. It's, you know, should you carry yourself that way independent of your gender? You cannot separate this kind of commentary, which Natalie is calling out, from the larger context is the problem. That's why you hear it differently, Natalie. I'm not saying that people saying it aren't coming from a place of, you know, sexism or double standards. I'm saying that the same criticism and commentary does exist, but for different reasons.
For sure.
In the men's game.
But the other thing too that I think is a difference with the men's game is, like you mentioned, Draymond Green. You know, we know like there's other players, Dennis Rodman. There's certain kinds of players where that kind of stuff happens. Like Chris Paul complains a lot to the refs. LeBron does too. But they're superstars, and so they're not called out and talked about in the same way. That's why I said I was surprised.
Chris Paul is one of the most hated people in the NBA because
That's
a great call.
But I'm talking about
Dylan Brooks is a villain.
Right.
Now, they may be celebrated for it. But Angel Reese, for example, as many critics as Angel Reese has, Natalie, you and I both know how many people ride 10 toes down for Angel Reese.
For sure.
But
Caitlin Clark calling her, that's what I'm saying. Like, usually the stars, that's my point. Like, we don't usually care about the fact that they're chirping with refs, you know? Like, you let a LeBron or a Chris Paul do it, and the description is different. That's my point. So, like, when you
Luka
bring up, like.
Luka gets called a crybaby.
Okay.
Who does? Who gets Luka?
Hold on, Natalie. I just want to be clear. This is not a whataboutism. I know you're not.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I think that's a distinction. Yeah. But I also think,
Michael, it represents. And I hate doing this. I hate resorting to this. I hate when people say, "Oh, this just goes to show how far the game has come." But kind of like, you know, like this is basketball. And like, we're talking about just basketball, and we're passionate about basketball. And to Natalie's point about the fight, all of this is good for the game, not the women's game.
Yeah.
The game of basketball at every level.
Yeah, I'll tell you this: there will not be. It's good for the game, but maybe bad for the society. Okay, good for the game, bad for our society.
Bad for the soul.
That we have a
bad for the soul.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine if I went to a game, if I'm still working for a newspaper, I go to a game and then I report back to the home office. Hey, I got a story. What's your story? Chris Paul said the, like, sorry, like, oh, he cursed. Chris Paul cursed tonight. Hey, Draymond Green was cussing during the game. Put that in the headline. Yeah. Hey, LeBron James was cussing. And Patrick Beverly, Anthony Day, like, you go on and on. It's not even a it's not a headline.
It, Michael, guys about. Go ahead.
But it's not a headline. If I go to a game, I guarantee you, any game I go to, the next game I go to, I don't care if it's the next Celtics game I go to, whoever they play,
sure,
bad team, great team, there's going to be a ton of cussing on the court.
No question.
It's not going to be.
No question.
And nobody's going to talk about it. We're not going to talk about it on A Brother from Another. The Boston Globe's not going to have a headline on it. It's not going to be a Bleacher Report. It's not going to be
I think that's a generalization.
Sports. It's not.
I think that's a generalization.
Anything.
There's a lower bar for me.
Are you kidding
there's
me?
There's a lower bar. I'm not trying to be contrarian, trust me, but there's a lower bar for men, for sure. For sure. There's a lower bar when it comes to what's considered etiquette or behavior or proper or a proper way to do it. But there are plenty of situations where if a player loses his cool at a ref or at a fan or at another at an opponent or a teammate and uses certain language, it's a conversation.
Give me an example.
So if you're gonna put me on the spot, I'm gonna fail that test because it's so common. But I'm saying you're not gonna tell me that we don't ever talk about men's behavior. It doesn't
we
have the same
the
undertone or even language.
We talk about the behavior.
Or even language, Michael. Like there are players that have been criticized for cursing with an earshot of kids in the stands. It's even language has been a point of conversation. It just again the undertones are different. Maybe the motivation to Natalie's point is different, okay?
Yeah.
Maybe the people saying it are saying it for different reasons, but I don't know how I got this deep on this branch here. I guess what I'm saying is I look at it as I'm fine with people criticizing women the same way in my recollection they have criticized men for their on-court demeanor. My problem comes when it's coming from a patriarchal or misogynistic or sexist place, as if women are supposed to act dainty-like and polite and soft and docile playing basketball. That's the part where
I agree with the latter
from, if it's that.
And I think it's important to point out.
I agree with the latter. I guess I'm disagreeing. I'm disagreeing with the former. And I'm saying it is not the same way.
You don't think this conversation in the men's game around men's behavior. Okay.
Not around their language. But their language, no, never.
Okay. Oh, the language. Okay. Okay. Language, all right. You're talking specifically about. Okay. All right. You're talking about you. Okay. Sorry. You had drilled down on that. Not waving goodbye. Or not going at it with an official. You're talking about profanity. Okay.
If a man does that, are we talking about it? Like, if a man waves goodbye, are we?
It depends on who it is. There are assholes in the NBA.
For
there are assholes at all level of basketball. There are villains. Depends on who it is.
We like, get if somebody. Used to it. Like, if Dylan Brooks does it, we expect it. If Patrick Beverly does it, we expect it.
And it's also not. Hey, it's also not
if you ain't,
pearl
if you
clutching.
Ain't
hating,
you ain't doing it right.
It's not pearl clutching either.
It's not pearl clutching. You're 100% correct on that.
And you know, just something you said that I think is really important to point out, because you said like it comes from a place of patriarchy. Women are also perpetuators of patriarchy, and I just want people to understand that.
Sometimes because, the biggest ones.
Yes, because you know, because some of the outrageous headlines you were seeing were from women, you know. Mm-hmm. And last week I sort of teased like, what's the media's responsibility? And I don't want to necessarily take us down a rabbit hole or go deep into another conversation, but I've been paying very close attention to how the media is covering, you know, things right now, because I'm learning. And you know, Michael Holly, I'm going to ask you, because I know Mike brought up the other day that you're a professor and you teach this stuff, But I'm observing and I'm watching, and I feel like, you know, we're at an inflection point in women's basketball at the college and pro level, and college is definitely leading the way. But I just see some things that don't sit right with me. And as someone who knows probably more history than me, I'm curious if there were some of these same similarities in the NBA, because the NBA is still a relatively young league. And I think that people forget, like sometimes, you know, when they criticize the women's game and viewership and attendance, I'm like, the NBA was on tape delay and Magic and Bird had to save it. It didn't like just come out the gates and was this great thing. And so there's like so many issues around coverage in women's basketball. I've mentioned it before. The disproportionate coverage of the white players versus the black players. And thank, you know, goodness, allies like Paige Beckers and Kelsey Plum, they've spoke up on behalf of this as, you know, white woman basketball players. But there's also just, Mike, you brought it up, the stuff that happened after the LSU South Carolina game, how Dawn handled it. Dawn knew she had to go apologize. Like, it wasn't an option. Like, we credited her and said, you know, wow, look at how she apologized. And I, you know, and then look at how Kim Mulkey handled it. It was like such a stark contrast. Kim Mulkey said, I wish she would have said that to Angel Reese. Like, if Dawn Staley would have said that, what would the commentary have been? And I didn't see articles calling out Kim Mulkey for being classless, right? We just let it pass. And so I'm watching because after Camila Cardozo got into that minor scuffle, it was a push, she was described by one outlet, or I should say by one person, as a giant Brazilian woman from South Carolina. Dawn Staley had to call it out, and an apology was issued right away, right? Ooh. You had that. We saw the headlines that I mentioned after Melee. It's an embarrassment. And then again, you look at how Dawn Staley knew she had no choice of how she had to approach that. Even last year, after the Final Four, after they lost to Iowa, she took the time during that presser to talk about her team and how she doesn't like how they've been described on the record and off the record as monkeys, right? Bullies, and that they're not, you know, it's a bar fight, that they're not these things. And so everyone is kind of tapping into this. Everyone is looking at how to cover it. And I'm just wondering, what is the approach, you know, with all the history we have now? And I know that you're not just going to eradicate microaggressions and racism, but what is the responsible way to approach this? Because I get so riled up all the time, and I'm just one voice, and I'm not even a major voice. What is the responsible way to approach this?
Yeah, that's a heavy one. That's a lot there to try to navigate.
I know, untangle. We can't.
I'll tell you this, Mike and Natalie. Now, you bring up the NBA, and I think there was a point where the league itself had to confront what the perceptions were and what the media was putting out there and deal with it. So Larry O'Brien, the predecessor to David Stern. David Stern comes in, as he liked to say many times, same year as Michael Jordan. So it was David Stern, first year commissioner, Michael Jordan in 84. And so they already had Bird and Magic, but there was still a lot with that. There was a lot unspoken with Bird in Boston and Magic in L.A., white star, black star, who were great friends, but the country saw something completely different, depending on where you were. This country was still dealing with some of the things we deal with today. And so there was a lot of commentary that was uninformed, that was very ignorant, coming from NBA fans and NBA reporters. And David Stern was trying to make the league more universal. So he was trying to promote the league, and he was trying to deal with some of the stuff that he knew was happening in the league. So 3 years after that, 3 years after, you know, Dennis Rodman says his comments about Larry Bird after they lose a playoff series to Boston. Hey, if he was just another black player, we wouldn't be celebrating Larry Bird. So there's a lot of resentment still, that kind of conversation. He had won 3 straight championships, and Dennis Rodman says this stuff. Isaiah Thomas agrees with it. Like, it was that kind of commentary of like, oh, he's just getting credit because he's a white player and the rest of us are being ignored. And I think they, the NBA really had to confront it. It had to deal with black players being called smart, which they weren't always celebrated now. Now you hear it. You hear players like LeBron being described as cerebral, Steph Curry, black coaches being celebrated, black general managers being celebrated for putting teams together. That stuff didn't always exist. It was very, it was infrequent. And the media had to come along and follow what the league was putting down. The league saying, hey, look, we have these things in place. Why don't you write about it this way? Why don't you talk about it this way? Because you seem to be engaging in, you're operating in tropes and stereotypes that really don't exist for our league. It took probably 10 to 12 years to get that stuff kind of rooted out of the NBA. And I think it's going to be a difficult process in women's basketball before we get to a point where we can have real conversations about their athleticism and their intelligence and their competitiveness without resorting to, ooh, women shouldn't act like that. Like, come on, what are we talking about?
And that resentment Michael talked about, Mike, that's happening right now. And I'm just wondering, do you think a media plays the part in building that resentment? Like, or should it just be like, whatever, ignore them and still, because that resentment that Dennis Rodman felt because of how they're talked about, that is happening right now in women's basketball. Like fans, people are feeling like that. Like that conversation is happening. And I'm sure some of the players do, even though no one's like said something on the record yet.
Do the media play a part? Of course. Absolutely. And the media is such a broader term now, because everybody's got a platform. I mean, like, you know,
you ain't have social media in 1987,
right? But just the internet, you know, or YouTube. But even just the gatekeepers of traditional media often failed when it came to the standards that we're aspiring to. So there's a lot more media, a lot less qualified media, therefore a lot less ethical. And principled media. But I think as media evolves and conversations are not confined to just a certain elitist group, I think, like Michael said, in time, I'm hopeful that there'll be more people like yourself calling out these issues. Both very well said on both of y'all parts. Want to leave it there, though, because you got more, right, Natalie? Like, you got...
No, I knew this conversation would take... No. I knew that... I felt like that was enough for today.
Okay.
I did. I felt like that was enough for today.
All right, well, we'll leave it there. Appreciate you. And we will see you next time.
Thank you.
I'm sure that conversation will be ongoing.
Good stuff, Natalie. Good to see you, Mike.
Is there such a thing as a traveler? Not a Delta. Because we know on one flight, Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. While on the flight after, 8C is occupied by Jen, whose favorite snack is tea. That's why we provide fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members. Because at Delta, we know. Refill? Everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing. Free Wi-Fi available on most domestic flights. Terms of use apply.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.